Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 5th of August. I'm recording at 9:55 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, well, interesting day here. Starting with the Asia-Pacific, these indices, for the most part, recovered their nerve, not that they'd lost it necessarily, but at any rate, most of them were firm following Monday's reasonably modest bounce on Wall Street. Japan was an exception, down 1% on the Nikkei 225. But looking across the boards here, the Hong Kong Hang Seng Index up a fifth of a percent, and Shanghai Composite down almost as much. But this is awfully steady here, given the big run that it's had quite recently. Shenzhen Composite Index was also higher. Taiwan, though, that got clipped down 2%. South Korea, well, these aren't as good as they said they were. South Korea down 0.68 of a percent. So where are the gains, David? Well, India. India had a good performance here, second one in a row, and this offsets the Friday downward dynamic. Tomorrow may be more challenging, but we had 4/5 of a percentage gain across the main indices, and modest gains by Malaysia, Thailand, and New Zealand. Indonesia slightly lower. Now, looking at the European indices, which have been troubled by the Russian situation, to put it mildly, well, they were mostly a little bit better in here today. But they did close before Wall Street saw most of its decline, and not all of them were higher. For instance, the Spanish IBEX market was down 0.43 of a percent, and the Italian market, Italian MIB, was the big loser on the day, down 1.6%. The others had moderate gains to the upside. German DAX up 0.39 of a percent. Now, on Wall Street, that fell in two stages, and quite a big sell-off really well into the trading session. It clawed back a little bit, but the Dow, here's some of the interesting numbers here, because the Dow down, was it 4/5 of a percent, just over 4/5 of a percent. That's nearly 140 points on the Dow. Brings it back to 16,429. Remember, it had that 17,000 roundophobia level, although other indices had much bigger roundophobia levels. The S&P, for instance, which almost tested that 2,000 roundophobia level, that was the big one. Again, I repeat on these roundophobia levels that the main problem is that they become targets, and then when markets get there, they say, what next? And also, if they get there and are somewhat overextended in the process, as was indeed the case on Wall Street, then it can be a little worse than that. This is down almost 1%, and it brings the S&P back to 19.20, so it's almost 80 points off that high. The NASDAQ Composite Index down a little less, 0.71 of a percent. The NASDAQ 100, incidentally, that talk about another important psychological level, that was up testing the 4,000 area, and it has fallen back from that. But what I find interesting here, and I won't give all the percentages, but What's interesting is that the Dow has come back to test its rising 200-day moving average. Now, that's held pretty well over the last many months, so we're going to see if that support is still holding. At the opposite end of the extreme, what I described as the ground troops, the Russell 2000 index. Now, that didn't do too badly in here today. That was down only 3 points, a small percentage decline, but it has underperformed and it's just been ranging sideways. And it's been doing that really for quite a long time overall, and goes back to last year, into last year. Now, it's not challenging the lower side of its range, which it did a few months ago, 2 months ago. But it again, if we're going to see, it is slightly below its 200-day MA. So if we're going to get a further downside signal, this is one of the indices that would show it. And conversely, a rally from these levels would be would suggest that the we were just seeing a mean reversion correction overall. And transports closed about half the overextension relative to its MA overall. What's interesting also, I'm talking about Wall Street, and we spend a lot of time on it. It is an awfully important market. But you know, the Dow, after today's close, is down just under 1%. The S&P is only up. Well, it's up just under 4%, and the Nasdaq Composite just over 4%. So that's not been a brilliant performer. It looks okay relative to Europe because most of those indices are down. But you go back into Asia, for instance, and I will tell you that the Indonesia stock market, once one I like a lot, particularly following the Widodo victory, and he was widely tipped to win the election, but that's up 24.25% in U.S. dollar terms, and the India Nifty is up even well a fraction higher than that in U.S. dollar terms. So there are plenty of better performing stock markets. Indeed, a good many of them are outperforming Wall Street here right now, which is, I think, no surprise given the U.S. Valuations, which are on the high side. But one of the lower valuation markets, I mean Japan here, is actually down slightly on the year. And China, the Shanghai Composite Index, up 3% on the year. Right now, the Hang Seng Index up almost 6% so far, again in U.S. dollar terms, so far this year. Okay, elsewhere in the Americas, having mentioned that weakness on Wall Street, we had Canada a fraction lower, Mexico also a fraction lower, quarter of a point, Brazil 3/4 of a point towards the downside, but overall a mixed day on stock market indices. But as I mentioned earlier, and it's a point worth repeating, the Asian sector and also the European indices are likely to be challenged tomorrow by what actually happened on Wall Street today. Okay, in long-dated government bonds. Again, those yields are really quite low. I take a little bit of comfort from that because if they were pushing up sharply, I think the markets would have something additionally to worry about. But we're just around the 2.48 level on that US 10-year. Some of the very short-term rates, 1 year and under, you know, they have been edging higher. Just providing just this preliminary minimal insight into the gradual tightening that is occurring. Now, historically, interest rates going up by a tiny amount should not mean a great deal, and really investors ought to take more confidence in the fact that the economy is not experiencing deflation and is not as weak as some people had actually feared. But we will see, because valuations are high, and there's a lot of nervousness. Incidentally, I've probably been sent more bearish reports in the last 2 to 3 weeks than I can remember for a very long time. I'll leave it to you to decide, and they've come in from all sorts. I'll leave it to you to decide whether that's a contrary indicator or not. I haven't received any bullish reports on stock markets, at least not that I can recall right now. Looking at precious metals, this was not a good day here. Some heavy selling pressure here. Palladium fallen back to 846. Remember, that was up above 900 just a short while ago. Silver hit harder. That's down, trading right now at $19.78. The $19 region is the area of those major three lost important lows within the trading range. And gold bullion did a little better when Wall Street fell quite sharply, but right now it's certainly not strong. It's at 1,288, nearly $1,289, and I missed platinum. Platinum slipped $11 here today to 1,455 and change. So softness there. Softness also in the crude oil markets. And and you say, well, people are worried and they're thinking about Russia and they're thinking about the Middle East and other and they're thinking about the ending of QE in the United States and really getting into a bit of a flap about developments. What's actually gone right? Well, I can mention a hugely important factor here in that the Brent crude oil price is at 104.87. Now, that is just over, that's about $11 lower than where it was about a month ago, and that was dangerous up on the upper side of the range, because there were fears that we'd see some Iraqi production knocked out and then we'd get a spike up in oil prices. When's the last time we got a big spike in oil prices? Well, you're right. It was early 2008. And that has always caused recessions when it occurs. And but we've pushed that risk here behind us, at least temporarily. And let's see. Also, inflationary pressures from commodity prices, that's not much of a factor. I mean, industrial metals are gradually recovering, some slightly better than others. But we haven't got big cost pressures in here. Again, those grains and beans are mostly lower in here today. Soybeans back down over nearly 14 cents. Corn down 2.5 cents. Wheat went the other way. It's just up slightly firmer. Remember, I mentioned yesterday there was some concern about wheat crops because of the wetness, particularly in France, which is Europe's biggest. Well, Western Europe's biggest grain producer. Okay, what else? The dollar. The dollar's been generally steady throughout this whole process. The U.S. dollar index is at 81.51, so that's up again today. And sterling Well, it's at 1.6884. The euro has been soft here, and that's good. The European countries certainly could use a somewhat weaker currency here right now, given their deflationary problems. And that's against the US dollar, that's at 1.3376. So, on we go. What does it all mean here for stock markets? Well, again, Asia is outperforming in a big way. Some of those Asian markets, some of the Middle Eastern markets are outperforming in a big way. Egypt, for instance, is among them. Saudi Arabia surged to another new high in the last 3 weeks. But if you're looking for conservative valuations, you want a developed country with conservative valuations and where you can pretty well trust the results, well, that's Japan. If you want an emerging market with incredibly low valuations, can you trust the data? Well, I'll leave that decision to you. I sort of, I mostly trust it, I guess, but that's China, and you can also see that in the Hong Kong China valuations. Those are also low. This is not a time I would suggest to be too wound up in momentum stocks or very high multiple stocks. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.